So it's a kingdom that he's talking about that we're going to look at a little bit closer. Look in Jeremiah chapter 51, and we're going to look at three verses of scripture. Now what we want to look at here is this threshing floor. Now the Lord did not destroy all those kingdoms at one time. He destroys the last kingdom, which is the kingdom of the Antichrist, and he hits it in the feet of those 10 toes because he's dealing with those 10 kings. But the Lord had everything to do with the fall of Babylon, the fall of Persia, the fall of Greece, the fall of the Roman Empire, as it was in that day when the Lord came. It fell apart in that sense, but it was remanufactured through the Roman church, and it will fall too. He says, "For thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor." Now this prophecy right here that he's talking about in Jeremiah 51 is about 50 years before Babylon is destroyed. This is early into the kingdom of Babylon. Now Babylon starts in 607 B.C. Now you will find when you study that there was Babylon existed before that, but not as a major world power. The Lord only starts the calendar clicking, the clock clicking, with Nebuchadnezzar, because Nebuchadnezzar had built Babylon into this world power. Now, in Genesis chapter 10 and verse 10, the first Babel, and it's odd at verse 10 and chapter 10 because that's Gentile numbers. The number of the Gentile is 10, like the 10 toes. But in Genesis 10 and 10, the first Babel was in the plains of Shinar, and it was led by a man named Nimrod, whose name means leopard. That's important when you're studying prophecy. He says, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor, and the daughter, when you see this, and we've talked about this in prophecy, when you see when it speaks of a daughter, he's talking about another generation. Anytime daughter is used in the context of a country, it's referring to another generation, and this was 50 years later. It is time to thresh her. Now, this Babylon, when it come down to it, when it was time to end Babylon, they were threshed. Yet a little while and the time of harvest shall come. The little while was 50 years. That's how long it was from this prophecy, Jeremiah chapter 51, until Belshazzar seen the handwriting on the wall. It was about 50 years. Now, that's a little while. Now, to me and you, that's a long time. But we have to look at things as God looks at them. That's just a moment of time when you're talking about an eternal God that has given us an eternal word. So that's one of the things in studying prophecy that you have to learn to get over is when the Lord says just a little while, you better be sure you packed your lunch because it may be a while in our time. So keep that in mind. In Jeremiah chapter 51:33, look at verse 34. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me, he hath crushed me, and that goes back to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. He hath made me an empty vessel, he hath swallowed me because they burnt the temple, they burnt the palaces in Jerusalem. When Nebuchadnezzar walked out of town with all them loads of silver and gold, the smoke was coming back over his shoulder. And he swallowed me up like a dragon. He hath filled his belly. And that word dragon is important in prophecy too when you get to Revelation chapter 12 because the dragon was really signing his check for him anyway. He hath filled his belly with my delicates. He hath cast me out. Now this is what the Lord is saying about what Nebuchadnezzar done in verse 35. Now keep in mind the Lord was using Nebuchadnezzar to bring chastisement upon the nation of Israel. They deserved everything they got. But at the same time, just because he let Nebuchadnezzar in there to do that, Nebuchadnezzar didn't get a free ticket either because he done wrong in what he was doing, although the Lord allowed him to do that. So there's a lot of times we don't understand how the Lord goes about things, but this is a good example. The violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon. Shall the inhabitants of Zion say, and my blood upon the inhabitants of Chaldea, and that Chaldea is the Babylon, Chaldeans, shall Jerusalem say. So we see that this vengeance, God's people wanted vengeance upon Babylon, and they got it. And when you think about Daniel, when Daniel was there, when the handwriting was on the wall and Babylon fell and Persia come in, You know, Daniel probably had just a little bit of grin in the corner of his mouth there because he knew it all the time. If you believe what God says, you ain't going to be surprised by things you see today. There's a lot of people gets all tore up, Tony, about what's going on in the world today. I don't like a lot of things that's going on, but it don't surprise me a bit. There ain't nothing that comes across the 6 o'clock news anymore that surprises me. I think sometimes I've lost my feelings, you know, that I've just become calloused over. But folks, nothing surprises me anymore. Daniel knew what was coming, and when it came, it was no surprise. Let's look in Daniel chapter 8, and let's look at a few verses of Scripture. Now, Daniel chapter 8, he says, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar. Now, this right here, we've talked about how chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then you have to go to chapter 7 and 8 before you go back to 5 and 6. Everybody remember that? Okay, now what's happening right here in chapter 8, this is the third year of the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar. He actually gets killed in chapter 5. But he's still kicking in chapter 8. So you got to put it in order. There's a reason, as we've talked about, for that. But sometimes the reason is hard to understand. He's in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar. And if you'll notice, Belshazzar and Belshazzar, Daniel's name, there's only two letters difference in it, the T and the E. Have you figured that out? Now here's what I come, this is Max's version. The only difference between Daniel and this heathen was a T, a cross. And the only other difference was an E, which was a tomb that was open. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. I come up with that 30 years ago. Nobody goes along with me, but the only difference between them two guys is a T and E. And I think that's a cross, a tomb that was open. But that's just me. You're welcome to make it your opinion if you want to. Anyway, Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, given even unto me Daniel. And again, Daniel's got the vision. After that which appeared unto me at the first. And he's referring to a time before that the Lord gave him a vision. Verse 2. And I saw in a vision, it came to pass when I saw that I was in Susan in the palace. Now, if you've got a map in the back of your Bible, Daniel was in Babylon in chapter 2. He's moved all the way over the Euphrates. He's moved over the Tigris. And he's moved on toward Iran. And he's in Susan in the land of Elam. If you'll look on your maps, I think it's map 3 in the Scofield Bible. And I saw in a vision I was by the river Ulai, which is a small tributary off the Tigris. For some reason, Daniel has moved, it looks like 100, 150 miles east. Don't know why, but he's moved. Verse 3. And then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram. Now this prophecy is really, really important right here. Now this ram, which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. Now, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Medes was a much weaker part of this dual kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. And the Medes actually was a forerunner to them, but they created a great alliance, and Persia was the strongest. And no doubt that's probably why the Lord used Cyrus in Ezra chapter 1 to do the calling to get the job done, because the last was higher and had more control and more authority over the power of the empire, over the kingdom. Verse 4. And I saw the ram pushing westward. Now the direction is important because he's going after an enemy. He said, and he's going toward Greece is where he's going. And he says, northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. And Medo-Persian Empire lasted many, many years. They lasted to 330 B.C. for many, many years, almost 200 years, a great power. They were a ram with two horns that had a lot of power. and they became great. Verse 5. And as I was considering, behold, a he-goat. Always a goat messes things up, don't it? Anybody ever try to raise a goat? They raise you. You can't raise a goat. They tell you what they pretty well get the way, don't they, Walt? This he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth. That's Alexander the Great. And touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. Alexander moved so fast that he didn't even stir a dust storm up. He was not even touching the ground. He gained power over that whole known world at that time in a very short period of time. He lived between 7 and 8 years, and he'd done all that and died in his 30s. Died of a simple problem, medical problem. In verse 6, and he came to the ram and had two horns. Now, here, Alexander the Grecian power comes up, and he butts heads with this ram, the Medo-Persian Empire. And they controlled the whole world at that time. But he said, I had seen standing before the river and ran unto him in the fury of his power. This he-goat is running full bore right toward this ram, and they're about to hit heads in verse 7. And I saw him come close into the ram, and he was moved with choler. And choler means just plumb mad, just anger. He, you know, they say you can't fight good, you get about half mad, so he's about half mad right here. He says, and against him, and smote the ram and brake his two horns, so the Medo-Persian Empire fell immediately, both parts of it. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. It ended pretty quick, didn't it? Verse 8. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken. That's when Alexander the Great died. Just a very short time. And for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of the heaven. Now, the Grecian Empire was divided at that time between Greece, Macedonia, Syria, and Egypt. And there was notable people in charge of those four divisions of the Grecian Empire, but the Grecian Empire was pretty well over. And it became splintered out. And then from that point forward, the Syrian, the king of the north, became a great power. And we'll probably have time to touch on him next week. Now next week, we're going to visit London, we're going to visit Moscow, and we're going to visit Washington, D.C., as well as go through Syria on the way. Now look close at what's going on here. Look in verse 15. And it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. Next verse. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai. Now, the banks of Ulai, if he's on this river Ulai and this voice is between the banks, somebody's walking on water. Which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Whoever it was had charge over Gabriel. And we know who Gabriel is. He shows up about 300 years later in the house of Mary to tell her what's getting ready to happen in her life. It's hard to imagine Gabriel and Michael and angels like that that's been the same age from the very beginning and will always be that same age. But that's kind of the way we're going to be when we get our new body. You know, whatever, and I know the Lord's got a sense of humor. We know that when you just look around at your brothers and sisters in Christ and you kind of wonder, I know we're all going to get a new body, a glorified body, but don't you think He's going to give us some distinct characteristics like He has now? You know, we couldn't all look alike. You'd have to have name tags. We're going to be smarter, but might not be any prettier. We just don't know. But here, Gabriel, this one that's standing between the banks on the water, says, Gabriel, explain this to him. I mean, he can see that Daniel really has a burden to understand what's going on. Look at verse 20. He says, the ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Medes and Persia. So Daniel says, okay, I understand that. And look at the next verse. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. The great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now, that's a little bit tough because he knows a little bit about the Medo-Persian. They're not in charge yet because Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, is still in charge, but he knows about the Medo-Persians. But that's 200 years. He's telling him about somebody that ain't even been born yet because Alexander the Great died in his 30s, and this is 200 years before Alexander was even thought about. But he didn't tell him how to, he just told him what it, he's going to tell him what it means. He wasn't going to help him understand it. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king, and that's Alexander. Now look at the next verse. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, the four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. When Alexander died, these four men came in, and they were part of his kingdom anyway, but they take control of these four different divisions of the Grecian Empire. Now they stay in power, splintered like that, until around 27 BC when the Roman Empire comes in and takes over. Now during that time, and let me say this, I'm going to let you go in about 3 minutes. There was a man called Antiochus Epiphanes. Has anybody ever dealt with him in history? Okay, he was around 170 BC, and Antiochus Epiphanes hated the Jews, and he was a Syrian. And keep in mind that in the book of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah, they got the temple going again. They got the sacrifice going again in Jerusalem. And Antiochus Epiphanes, that Syrian despising the Jews and hated the Jews, he went in and sacrificed a hog, a pig, on the altar of God in Jerusalem. And it was called the Abomination of Desolation. Now keep in mind, that was in 170 B.C. There was a prophecy given about the Abomination of Desolation in the book of Daniel, and it's given over, it's quite given at least probably three, maybe four times. And many of the people today says, well, that was fulfilled years ago by Antiochus Epiphanes. That ain't got nothing to do with that. But then the Lord comes in Matthew chapter 24 and says, it ain't happened yet. Because what Antiochus Epiphanes done was just a picture of what the Antichrist was going to do someday. He fulfilled the prophecy partially, but the fulfillment of it totally will be by the Antichrist himself. We see that throughout the Bible, how that John the Baptist fulfilled the ministry of Elijah in a small way. And they asked John the Baptist, he's Elijah. He said, Lord, I'm not Elijah. And then in Matthew chapter 17, they was talking about John the Baptist and Elijah. The Lord said, he's come already. And they knew that he was talking about John the Baptist. John didn't even know it. The Lord does this with us sometimes. We don't even know he's doing stuff with us. But he was Elijah for that remnant that believed, that small group in Jerusalem that believed when the Lord came the first time. But then the next Elijah, Revelation chapter 11, Elijah will come with Moses. And they'll preach and be killed in the streets of Jerusalem, Revelation chapter 11. So what we see in this chapter right here, and got 2 minutes. Let me lay this on you, welcome, Matt, and see what you can do with this between now and then. Daniel chapter 2, verse 41. And here he says, whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, but now you know more about it than you did then. Part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it as the strength of iron. We talked about that, how that was a core. The strength was behind the scene. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, in verse 42, he says, and as the toes and the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom should be partly strong and partly broken. But 43 is what I want you to think about. We're going to talk about this next week. We actually skipped over it a few weeks ago because I wanted to spend time toward the end on it. Now, he says, whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Now these kings that will come, these 10 kings, these 10 toes that will stand upon earth in the last days, they will only be half man. Look with us in the book of Luke, chapter, I think it's 16, Luke 17, verses 26. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. He said in verse 27, and they did eat and drink, they married wives, they had given in marriage until the day that Noah entered in the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Verse 28, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. The two things that stand out about the days of Noah and the days of Lot, and he said these are two things that you can look at and understand what's going to be going on in this world when the Lord comes. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot. Lot's day was all built around the problems in Sodom and Gomorrah. And we're living that today, folks. It is more open. I've never seen a world corrupt any faster than it has over the last 10 years over that one thing right there, which has blinded the minds of children today. They don't even know what is right and wrong anymore because we're not allowed to tell them that it's wrong anymore. So the days of Lot is already, we're standing in them. Now the days of Noah, he said in Genesis chapter 6, and go to that Genesis 6 and 1, he says, and briefly, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, verse 2, that the sons of God, that's angels, saw the daughters of men that they were fair and they took unto them wives and all which they choose. Now look what happened in the offspring of these. And God, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also his flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. That's how long Noah was able to minister before the waters came. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also, look close, after that when the sons of God came to the daughters of men and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old men of renown. The leaders of the world in that day were half angel, half man. And he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Daniel chapter 2 says that they mingled themselves with the seed of men. The 10 kings that will stand upon this earth in the last days will be half man, half angel. And if that last days is before us, and if it could happen today, those world leaders will say they're 50 to 60 years old, then it took place many, many years ago, and probably in the 1950s or 1960s. Now, I'm giving you something to think about. Again, you don't have to agree with me, but you do have to read those verses two or three times and think about it. So that's your homework between now and next week. Next week, we ain't going to wrap it up, but we're going to stir it up just a little bit more. And we'll try to finish up what we've been trying to do here for the last, this is 11 weeks, next week. And I appreciate you coming tonight. I know the storm's not far away.